welcome back to the RV America Y'all podcast.
I'm Stacy.
I'm Tom, and we're RV America Y'all.
We are native Texans and full-time RVers who are all about exploring America one campground at a time. We're on a mission to experience life, not just live it, and we're bringing you along for the fun.
We're here in Galveston, Texas at Jamaica Beach RV Resort. This is episode 44.
And this week we are so excited to be bringing you, and I do mean longtime friends, David and Karen.
Absolutely.
Full-time RVers who are going to share their experience, their journey, their joys, their challenges. It's all about them this week. So sit back, relax, and join us as we RV America, y'all. So, yes, you know, we are always so excited to be back on beautiful Galveston Island with our friends here at Jamaica Beach RV Resort. And, you know, if you haven't been with us for very long, you may not realize this is the RV resort that kind of started it all for us.
That's for sure.
Because before we came here for the first time back in 2013, we were state park campers, clear, all the time, never camped anywhere other than state parks.
Yep.
And Texas has some amazing state parks, but Jamaica Beach was our first experience with an RV park, and we have been coming back every year since 2013.
For sure.
It's like coming home. We are so excited, and part of what makes it so great are the people. And we are joined by two of those folks today, David and Karen. Now, when I say that they are longtime friends, this is no exaggeration. I won't call them old friends because we're not old, but
yeah.
These folks actually went to school with Tom. So,
yeah. Well, let's just start it. David and I went with elementary all the way through.
Yeah,
all the way through high school. Karen and I went from junior high through high school.
So welcome to the podcast, y'all. We're so excited to be sitting here with y'all and having a conversation publicly.
Yeah, thanks. It's always great to see y'all.
It is.
Yeah, I remember I go back in the time when we had no idea that y'all were thinking about doing a full-time RV journey until y'all came out to Toppers, where we were out there giving a little seminar or whatever, and y'all showed up, and then we kind of realized y'all were thinking about doing this journey yourselves. So take us back. What led y'all to think about this kind of lifestyle?
She started the 70s. I'll let her start with her story in the Winnebago.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, growing up, we had a Coleman pop-up camper, so family-wise, we were camping, and then in the 70s, we had a Winnebago Indian, so
awesome.
We had a motorhome then.
Wow.
Yeah, and then we backpacked and tent camped in college.
You were 4 years old when y'all went up and...
No, I was older than that. Good try. But David and I, we both tent and backpacked in college and... Yeah.
Borrowed a pop-up from neighbor down the street.
Yeah, did some camping with
that. Did pop-up camping with that, and then my mother said, if I buy a travel trailer, will y'all take me camping?
Okay.
So in the late 80s, she bought a 3-year-old, new to her, travel trailer. It was a 28-foot Prowler Regal. And we pulled it with our, Ram Charger.
Ram Charger back then.
Yeah. Pulled it with the Ram Charger and took her places. And then my brother had a truck, so they went on up into New Orleans and took her everywhere. And we had that until the 90s when we moved out to our farm property. And then we didn't go camping because we had the farm and it was where we could stay there. So
yeah,
got rid of that camper, and she caught the bug when some friends of ours invited us camping in 2011. So
okay.
We went out and got a longer travel trailer, 32-foot.
Yeah, with a bunkhouse in the back for the boys.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, y'all have two boys.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Traded that in on a fifth wheel in 2016, and then we wanted to retire. We knew we wanted to retire early. We thought the fifth wheel and dually would be the way to do it, but the setup was just too much.
Yeah.
I would be soaking wet.
Right.
From sweat, regardless of the temperature, getting in there, climbing around, all the setup and putting leveling blocks under the tires and then having to level the jacks, disconnect all the hitches and chains and get all of that stuff done. And she couldn't reach over the sidewall of the dually.
Yeah, I'm really tall.
Yeah. And plugging in the plug required a lot of force to plug that big seven-way pin connector in.
Right.
So we realized that wasn't going to last for us. And we started looking at motorhomes. Studied very diligently for 2 years, the makes and models,
yeah,
floor plans.
And did a lot of talking with y'all, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you did. And, I mean, y'all had the fifth wheel when we first realized that y'all were thinking about a full-time journey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't know if we ever gave you the recommendation, but we for sure would have also recommended not doing a fifth wheel if you could help it, you know.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people love fifth wheels.
Yeah,
and for the room inside, you know, when you're set up, if you're not going to be moving often, I think it's a fantastic option.
And that was key. We knew we weren't going to stay somewhere for 4 weeks, 5-6 weeks, because then the fifth wheel would have been something.
But right.
The build quality and the construction, I'll just call it the robustness.
Right.
Motorhomes are built on a different platform with different materials that are typically higher quality and higher strength. The fifth wheels are just slapped together, sometimes spliced boards and things like that in the walls. And we just saw that that was not going to be a long-term solution. Rubber roof membrane versus fiberglass and all of the rest of that.
Well, so y'all are in a motorhome. Tell people what y'all travel full-time in.
This is our signature series, one of a kind. Discovery LXE made by Fleetwood.
Okay. Why and do you say one of a kind?
What we did, I reached out to one of their marketing guys that does their videos for Fleetwood, and his name is Mike Grove, and I reached out to him and I said, hey, I know that Bob Tiffin signs the cabinet over the entry door on their motorhomes.
Okay.
Is there some way I could get something done on the back of the motorhome inside the what I call the hood? They call it an engine gate because it's really just a small enough opening to get your dipsticks and fluids back there. And he said, let me check with management. And then he sent me a thing back. He said, that's a great idea.
Now, what David's not saying is David was in manufacturing for years. So he understands that the people that are out in the factory making them, they're the ones that are putting in all the work making them. So that's who we had sign the engine gate on the back of the RV. So that makes it
everyone who worked on the build for this motorhome signed the back. That is very cool.
Well, it's supposed to be on the inside, as David said. But when it came off the factory floor, it actually was on the outside.
Oh, that's interesting.
So it truly is a signature series.
Yes.
So he sent us a picture and said, I don't know how to tell you this. I'll get it repainted. And it'll take me 3 more days, and I'll have them sign the inside this time. And we said, let us think about it. And we looked at each other and thought about it. We said, you know, this will be a conversation piece. It's a one of a kind.
And people see it.
That's awesome. Have you had folks comment?
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
A lot of campgrounds we're in are usually wooded, so they don't obviously see it there. But when we're in the back-to-back campgrounds, people will come up and comment and go, who wrote all over the back of your coach? Is that where you have your friend's sign? And I said, no, that's everybody that built it.
As they walk up with a marker.
Yeah. But as she said, you know, also one other thing I figured, if somebody's going to sign their name on the back of this coach, they're going to make sure it's right and tight.
That's
a very good point.
So, you know, I don't think it had any influence on the build quality or people paying attention to detail twice because their name's on it. But it just gave them a shot in the arm because this was right after COVID because we picked the coach out. Actually, we ordered one in February. Mm-hmm. They told us it was going to be
of
22. It was going to be close to the model year end, and we might not get a 22, we'd get a 23. So we said, okay. So we went with that, and then they called us and said, you're getting a 23. You got to repick all your options because they've added more options condensate drains on the air conditioners and several other things changed. Color schemes changed. Body paint changed. So we were able to pick all of that out, and got from April and took delivery. They delivered it to National Indoor in Lebanon, Tennessee in November, right after, at the end of November. And then we went up there on my birthday, December 12th.
Yeah, well, happy birthday. He got a birthday present.
60th yeah. birthday
picking up
present.
our new coach.
There you go.
That's cool. Nice. So obviously you ordered it from National Indoor. So
yes.
Since you went through all the selections and stuff, we did the same thing y'all know on ours. Did you do that? Were you able to do that in Dallas, or did you have to go up to Atlanta and have it done?
There's a very good dealer in Texas, but we wanted to be part of the National Indoor family.
Okay.
They've got the 6 locations across the states.
Right.
Starting on the West Coast with Vegas, Phoenix, Dallas. Now Nashville's moved. They were in a different part, but it's Lebanon.
Yep.
And then Atlanta, and then they've got the D.C. location, which I believe is in Virginia. So we knew that we were no more than a day and a half, 2 days away from the Family Service Center. The horror stories are out there. I mean, you can buy motorhomes from anybody, but
yes.
It's the service that's going to make you come back to that same dealer. And a lot of these places are overwhelmed, understaffed. There's months to get or weeks to get in to be seen.
Yeah.
Then they got to diagnose the problem, get warranty approvals if you have a warranty. And then they've got to come back and get the parts, and you're talking a long process.
Right.
National Indoor, you go in there, they know you're full-time, they treat you like family, give you hookups. You know, they've got dozens of sites, if not hundreds, at some of those locations where
right.
you can hook up. And they take care of you. And they take your coach during the day, and then you sit in their waiting area, which is like an airport lounge.
Right.
And then you get your coach back at the end of the day, and they have valet services that move it back and forth. They'll empty your tanks if your tanks need to be filled or emptied right. with water or dumped. And it's just, it's the customer experience.
For us, it was a no-brainer going with NIRVC to get it. But we had to order everything online.
Oh, so you did it online.
Okay.
Yeah. And then we did their flying by. So we flew up there to pick it up and
we have not stepped in this coach. We hadn't even seen this floor plan in person. It was all brochures
wow.
and videos.
Were you nervous? Did that make you nervous not being able to see one?
We had researched long enough that we felt comfortable with it.
Because we did a similar thing when we decided to make the change and come into our new air, order the new air. We weren't able to find one to look at. We had seen a new air before.
We'd seen them before.
But it would have been nice, right as you're ordering to kind of walk through one and go, yes, I like that. No, I want to change that. And so, but it worked out great. But I always wonder when somebody orders and they're not able to see right away, as they're making those decisions.
Well, and because we had to get the new year, there wasn't any.
You're right. You were probably one of the first 23s.
So that changed the equation a little bit.
Right.
Yeah.
But it helped because there were new add-ons that we could do.
Okay.
Oh, that
so that
is
helpful. I mean, we'd looked at the Discovery, so we knew what the floor plan was and everything. It was just a matter of colors and fabrics and.
Yeah, but we didn't see the 40M. We saw 38s.
Oh, yeah, we saw
and
some
the 36.
Different.
But so what model is your coach again?
It's a 40M Discovery LXE.
So is it 40 foot long?
It is.
Okay.
And is it a tag?
No.
It's not a tag, and it's a diesel
pusher. Yes,
correct?
Diesel pusher.
Yeah, because people listening to this may not know whether it's a gas model or a diesel.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, I know y'all like to stay in, like you said, wooded campgrounds and things like that a lot on your travels. At 40 feet, and you tow a truck.
Mm-hmm.
It's
not a small truck either.
No, what's your
truck? It's a full-size Denali Sierra GMC.
Okay, so you're pretty long at that point. Have you had trouble getting into any of the campgrounds that you really wanted to stay in with that length?
No, not at all.
Most of the problem has been trees.
Okay.
The trees leading to the campgrounds oftentimes are county roads, rural roads, in some of the places that we're staying, because we prefer not to be in what most places call resorts, where you're walking out of your door and you can almost reach out and touch your neighbor. But they have all the amenities and all of the different things that go on.
Yeah, we don't have kids with us, so we're not, looking for that. We want to be out in nature. And
state parks, Corps of Engineers
and
parks.
Bike.
We haven't hit any BLM land yet, but we're going to find what that's like when we go west on our trip in 25.
Yeah.
Well, the good thing, too, is I know you got a birthday coming up, so your camping is going to be half price in some of these campgrounds.
Yeah, I get the America the Beautiful Senior pass this year. Woo-hoo. In fact, I'll order it on Thursday.
There you go. Good for you. I mean, and for those that don't know, that's obviously the senior pass that once you get it, too, it's good for life.
That's the National Parks
Pass. National Parks Pass, and it's good in Corps of Engineer parks, national parks,
Forest Service parks, any federal campground, or national, anything that's a member of the national park system, you can get free entry into the national parks, just like an annual national parks pass, but you get half price camping at all of these places that offer it as well. You have to be 62 to get that senior pass, but once you get it, you can choose now. They used to do just a lifetime pass, and it was super cheap. And now it's still cheap for what you get.
Yeah.
But you can choose between, I think, what is it, David, $80 for a lifetime pass at this point, or $20 a year, I think, something like that. So you can choose annual or forever, but why not choose forever?
Forever. We're all betting on living for quite a few more years, so I don't think I want to just bet on my 4 years of life and getting a better deal.
Well, we had already, and it'll probably go up again.
That's right.
We had already jumped on the Passport America. They had a lifetime special for like $300. You could get the lifetime with them, and we did that while we still had the fifth wheel. And
We're lifetime members as well.
Sunday through Thursdays work out for full-timers because you're traveling, and you can find those in-between campgrounds where you're traveling and you need an in-between destination. Harvest Hosts may be not available in the area or too far off the beaten path if you don't want to drive several miles away from your main interstates. So
that kind of leads into another question that I have for y'all, because you just passed a couple months ago your 1 year of full-time, correct? So first of all, how's it working out for you? Is it something you're enjoying? Is it what you expected?
We are loving it. And we learned, so we started last, fall, and we set off on a 3 month loop. So what we plan to do every year is do loops.
Okay.
And, we had some days that we traveled too long and too far. Mm. So we decided on this year's loop, we were not doing that again. So we really learned about travel time.
So now, what is your preferred travel day look like?
We don't travel. We try not to travel on the weekend.
Okay.
Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday tends to be really good travel days. We try to stay places at least three, four, you know, at the least up to 7 or 10 days.
Okay. How long do you like to travel on a travel day? How far do you like to go?
So 120 to 150 miles.
Nice.
And that way we figure when we're stationed at some place for those days, it's not vacation.
Right.
So we're not trying to cram a bunch in, but we look at, okay, what's in that area we can do that's like an hour drive.
Okay.
Any direction. And that, with that 120 to 150 mile, you can still do the next place.
Right.
You can still get to see quite a bit. One of the things we do is we've been very intentional with looking at visiting friends on the road. So we have a thing we call visiting friends on the road.
Yeah, y'all do phenomenal with that.
And so not only are we looking at where we're going, what's in the area, but who do we know along the route? And maybe that's a target area for
us. You have seen a lot of people in a short period of time.
Yeah, and it's been awesome.
And made friends along the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some really good friends of ours we met in Florida at our first ever rally, which was the Fleetwood
Rally.
Fleetwood Rally. Then this model had a rally the following week called Discovery, and they were at that one as well, but they didn't have a Discovery, but we were in the same campground just by coincidence because they summer there.
Perfect.
Oh, wow.
But they're from Maine.
Okay.
So Maine was in our travel loop.
Okay, because you did the Northeast this year.
Mm-hmm. And we plan about 3 to 4 months at a time.
Okay.
So I know a lot of people always ask, how far out do you have to plan? Mm-hmm. So 3 to 4 months, and again, we're looking at our route, where do we want to go, the distance, planning our stops. But they're like, you need to come and stay at our campground we're going to be at. We'll put in our name. The owner will make sure she finds room for you.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
Did it work?
So we stayed there for 2 weeks in Kennebunk.
Oh, perfect.
And so we had our own tour guides while we were there.
That's awesome.
And fresh lobster, and it was awesome.
Excuse me, it's lobster.
Lobster. Lobster. Yes, it's lobster. Without butter.
So now, okay, again, you're 40 feet, pulling a full-size truck. Everybody always talks about the Northeast being a little dicey for bigger rigs on the roads, bridges, things like that. Did you have that experience, or what was it
like? There were places that were tight, but so what we would do, especially when we've got in mountain areas, mm-hmm. we'd look at it and go, you know what? Let's unhook the truck now.
Okay.
We're 30 miles, whatever, from where we're, from our destination. Let's find an area we can unhook. It's less, you know, brakes and slowing down for the rig. Mm-hmm. But it makes your length shorter and everything else. So we did that quite a bit in the Northeast.
Yeah, when we were traveling, we knew we were going to be in what I would call hill, more than just hills. We have the Garmin 890 GPS, and it has an elevation view. So you can split the screen, and you can see actual peaks That's and cool. elevations. It tells you where the red is going to be a very steep grade. So we were able to look at all of that. I think the steepest we hit was in State College, Pennsylvania.
That was a pretty steep.
That was a 13% grade Ooh. Downhill, and it said signs all over the place. Trucks stop here, check your brakes. Don't yes. go in, and said trucks must use first gear. And it was a narrow lane. We made a lot of friends behind us. I'll leave it that way.
Because yeah. there's nowhere to pass.
Because there's nowhere to pass.
Faster. Right.
And it was hilly and windy and straight down. I mean, this, wow. The Jake brake that's on these coaches,
right.
these diesel pushers, works really well. It would slow me down too much, even on low. So I had to let off, you know, give it just a little bit of gas. And, boy, it just like you
it
had a supercharger
off.
On yeah. this thing. It would start rolling faster. So we just slowed down and did that cycle of just staying 19 to 15 miles an hour, cycling right. back and forth down that steep hill.
Wow. And,
but, yeah, yeah. The diesel pushers, I tell you, it pulls this. I can tell it's back there, but when it's not, there's not like a big jump in performance. It's not like with the truck when we had the RV pulling it, you know.
Right.
So what engine is in this motorhome?
This is a 8.9 Cummins ISL. It's 380 horsepower from okay. the factory with like 1,100 and something pound-feet of torque, but it's the bigger version. I think y'all have the Cummins ISL 6.7.
Yeah, 360.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So that's what was in the Ram that we had before the Ram
right.
Dually was that one. This one's the next step up, bus chassis engine, but same transmissions are in them and everything else. But
right.
it has some limitations. Yeah, I can take it to the Cummins or Freightliner, and for a small fee, they can put it in the programmer. And this engine and transmission are both rated to go up to 450 horsepower, and it'll take it up to 1,280 pound-feet of torque, but...
We don't need
She's
it.
Shaking her yeah, head, though.
Right.
I'm like Tim the Tool Man. Yeah. Give it to me.
We are not in a hurry. You
no.
know, we figure we want to see what we're passing by anyway.
Yeah.
So we don't really worry about being the fastest on the road.
And how often are you really in the mountains? I mean, when you're in the mountains, it feels like, oh, I want more power, but. Yeah. It really isn't as often as you'd think, even though we're all full-time. It's just, to me, it's not enough to justify the higher end. I mean, yeah, would I like a 605? Of course, absolutely, but no.
Put the gas in it.
Yeah, put the gas, all of it, you know.
Yeah.
It's but no, so y'all obviously have a kind of a set routine, a mm-hmm. Set schedule of how y'all do things. And yes, I want to reward y'all are phenomenal in seeing friends. And I mean, when I see how many friends y'all go see on the road, I think, wow, we don't even have that many friends that I know of. You know, I mean, y'all just, I mean, Karen's got so many because she used to be an athlete in college. So she's always seeing one of her teammates on the road. And so I guess that helps spread out. They all spread out
yep.
after college.
Yep. And then I taught therapeutic horseback riding for 30 years. So we've got people that have moved all over the U.S. from that.
Yeah.
Same thing with camp.
Mm-hmm.
Going to a specific camp that we have reunions still. And David was a counselor 1 year. So,
there
again, we've got people that have moved all over. And so we stop and see, you know, camp people.
Former coworkers.
Riding people. He's seen a couple
nice.
Of coworkers yeah. this year. So.
That's really neat.
Yeah.
That is cool. Now, I got to tell y'all that David is like, he's a gadget guy, right?
Yeah,
so
he's
every
a gadget
time
guy.
We see him, he's come up with some new solution to something. So yes. What are some of your favorite things that you have found that have kind of changed, made something better having to do with your RV?
One of the things that we did, we went to the Tampa RV show in Florida this past year, and we had seen the videos and different things, and I talked with the guy at great length about Safety Plus. They had two or three locations down in the southeast, and I wanted to put something on this coach that would eliminate what I call the yaw. Side to side, when you come out of a parking lot driveway, is when this coach, even with the X-Ride suspension that Freightliner puts on them, the XCM chassis that we have, the modular chassis, has a bracing around the rear axle. It's basically a big, stiff cage, and that limits the roll side to side of the coach. They've still have airbags. And the airbags are just basically giant air springs, and they like to get into motion where one side goes and gets pushed harder. That air goes to the opposite side and increases the amount of lift. So what they do is they put a little small check valve. They actually cut into the airline, splice this in there. It limits the fuel. Limits the air leaving the bag.
Gotcha.
So the bags will still fill up at the right rate, but when it tries to come out, it just puts enough restriction to stop that bouncing side to side.
Oh, interesting.
That's very interesting.
And then we also put the steering centering on there. Yours has the comfort steer.
Right.
This one does not, but it has now a gas-charged strut in the front, like a giant shock that attaches to the steering link underneath there. And it centers the steering wheel for us.
Brings it back to center.
Brings it back to center.
That's basically what Comfort Drive does.
Yeah. And so those two things, we didn't have any movement at all like we did before when semi-trucks would go past us. We'd have to steer into them when they get next to you. And then as they leave and you catch the wake turbulence, you'd have to steer away from them so you didn't get sucked into the next lane. That's all gone. So
that is awesome. One of the weirdest feelings when you first start driving these down a highway. And one of those big trucks goes past you, and the suction does move you. You wouldn't think it does, but
especially the big hog trucks.
Well, they do because they're going 100 miles an hour. Yeah. But but it's still, I've never had it to where it was like someone should be afraid of it. But boy, you do feel it.
You do.
And once you feel it a few times, you want to try to figure out how you can avoid it. And that's a very interesting, we saw those, I think, for the first time, what you're talking about that you put in at an FMCA rally several years ago, and they were talking about it.
Yeah, motion control valve, MCV is what the buzzwords abbreviation that they give it. And those made a big difference.
Where did you get them installed?
That was in Georgia because we had just left.
Yeah, at the Safety Plus.
Safety Plus in
factory.
Georgia.
Oh, okay.
Because we had left Salt Springs. In Fort McCoy, Florida, which is kind of central panhandle. And we had stayed there with the kayaked with the manatees.
Yeah.
And watched all the Top Gun fighters in training flying their jets doing stalls, vertical stalls
with
the aircraft. And you hitting the afterburners, and it was a Top Gun moment at that park.
Wow.
For those
that's
of you that are
very
interested
cool.
in that.
So. And that brings up another point. I mean, getting to do some of this stuff that you never imagined you'd probably ever get to do.
Yeah.
That has to be one of them that you've done on your journey that you probably never imagined you'd ever do that.
Never.
No, it was just where we happened to be.
Yeah.
And it was great.
Yeah.
We carry an inflatable kayak with us, a two-person heavy-duty inflatable kayak. So that's been really nice. At certain areas, we've been able to use it.
Okay. And you just carry it in one of the basement bays?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's got a giant duffel bag for it. And we carry the little air pump that you fill up inner tubes and floats with and get it most of the way. And then you got to use that big plunger foot pump.
Yeah.
To finish it off.
It's got to expand a certain amount. It's got a built-in scale on the side, and you have a matching scale. So as it stretches, you line up all these lines. And once it's stretched to the proper, you know you've got the right pressure in it. It's not over. It's not under.
Well, that's good to know because I always wondered about those, you know,
right.
because I thought, wow, if there's no way to really know and you think, okay, it feels good, and you get in the water. And let's say you're in Florida where there are, a little thing called alligators or something, you know. I'd like to know that the thing's going to stay afloat.
Yeah. Exactly.
I don't mind swimming with manatees. I love me a sea cow, but alligators, yeah. Maybe not.
We weren't feeding them.
No. Okay, that's good, yeah. So y'all have been in a short period of time, though, just since you've been full-time. You've been to quite a number of states. You've been to quite a number of places already. You've done the Upper Peninsula in Michigan. You've done the Northeast. What are some of your favorite places so far?
Oh, wow.
That's always a hard one.
It is. It's a hard one. I mean, seeing the Niagara Falls again was a cool experience there. We've seen all the Great Lakes from the American side, shorelines, staying in those campgrounds. I liked our UP Upper Peninsula trip last year. We spent 3.5 weeks, I think, in the Upper Peninsula. We didn't know it at the time, but we're like, why can't we get reservations past October 15th? Well, they close the campgrounds for the winter. And a lot of those campgrounds only have electric. You have to get your water when you go in there because you got to stop and think. It's frozen all the time. They're not going to run pipes and have to drain them and do all of that. So they have a dump station with fresh water, and you just fill up your tanks when you get there. And this has plenty of tank capacity, 105 gallons of fresh, 70 gray and 50 black. We can go a week doing laundry, showers, and cooking, whatever.
We figured out how to do it.
Yeah.
There you go.
So
I guess one of my favorites this past year was we stayed at Assateague National Seashore. I'm a big horse person, as y'all know.
Yes.
And this is where the wild ponies are.
Okay.
And the foals were being born.
Oh, wow.
And so we had the camping loop we were in. You dry camp when you're there.
Uh-huh.
There are some loops that allow generators, so
okay. We
got one of those. But you'd walk out your door, and there's a band with the stallion and four mares and a brand new foal that's, you know, 3 days old.
That's
in your camping loop, and that's where they hang out because that's their herd area.
Now that's in the Carolinas.
No,
correct?
So Chincoteague is in Virginia.
Okay,
it's a barrier island.
Okay,
and the upper part of the barrier island is Assateague, and that's in
Maryland.
Okay, it's further north than I thought.
Wow.
Okay, wow, that's very cool. So, was there any trouble getting in and around into that campground? Because some of the federal parks, especially some of the national parks, the campgrounds are older, mm-hmm. and they can be tough to get around and get through to maneuver in.
This is a barrier island, so it's, you know, you don't have to worry about trees or anything, and it was all easy to get into. There's Assateague State Park that was right next to it.
Okay,
but. That for me was.
I mean, even for folks who, you know, are not connected at the hip to horses,
that would still be pretty cool.
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah.
Have y'all had any challenges? Something maybe you didn't expect so far on your travels that kind of jumped up and maybe changed your plans a little bit or surprised you in some way?
We've had a few hiccups. We had a tire sensor go bad because this has built-in onboard tire pressure monitoring on the coach itself from Freightliner. We had that sensor, and every 20 minutes it'd start barking at me, and I'd have to hit the clear button. And we took our time getting to a place that could fix that. We finally wound up going to Gaffney, South Carolina, to their factory service center.
Freightliner.
Mm-hmm.
Freightliner. So they fixed that for us, and then we had a coolant sensor go out right after that, and it started telling us we had no coolant. Called the 1-800 Freightliner 24/7 number, talked to the guy. He walked me through some things to check, and he said, okay, you got coolant. It's not overheating. It's probably a sensor or a wire. He said, just keep an eye on it, monitor that, make sure you get somewhere when it's convenient for you. So we finally got that done. Unfortunately, the service center that we went to, the technician over-tightened the replacement sensors.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Stripped out the coolant reservoir. So we were going to Kentucky, staying in Lexington at the horse park.
Mm-hmm. That was a great campground, Lexington.
Into our campsite, and after we set up, I always go around the coach and walk around to look at everything, start unlocking compartments to finish the setup with hoses and cords, and I'm smelling coolant, hot coolant.
No.
And I'm like, this thing smells like it's overheating. And then I look, and there's coolant dripping on the ground.
Like pouring.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh. What did you do? I mean,
being the techie guy I am, I carry a borescope.
Which is, what is that?
A borescope is basically a camera on the end of a small, flexible cord. that you can, and it gives you a screen that you can hold in your hand. So
I'm shocked that you carry that.
Putting that in there, yes.
Just ask David. He's got it.
Yeah.
It's a tool, man. So I was able to get up in there and see exactly what was happening, took pictures of all of that, called Freightliner, told them, look, this sensor was just replaced 2.5 weeks earlier. It's already come apart and blown out of the tank, and I can see that the guy put Teflon tape on it. So they wound up telling me, well, your good news is you're 4 miles from another service center. Reach out to them. So I did. They said, well, we're booked for 2 weeks. We were only there a week.
And this, you know, was, so we're there a week, and the campground's pretty full.
Yeah.
Because they had hurricanes coming up, so people were evacuating there,
yes,
plus all
yes.
the horse shows that go on there.
Okay.
That was around the time of Burl, so a lot of people.
A lot of people coming up.
It's a horse park. They've got stalls for rent and everything, so all these horse camper trailers that have living quarters in the front and all the horses in the back were filling up fast. So fortunately, Freightliner worked with us. The guy said, let me talk to my boss. He said, I can get you in next Tuesday. So I said, all right. So I took all these pictures, and I went in there on Monday and met with the service guy who was there, and he said, let me let you talk to the shop manager. So I did. He looked at everything. I said, look, I'll pay for the tank to get it sent here because I don't have time to wait around here. We had all of our plans made in advance and paid for. He said, I've got the tank in stock. He goes, I'm going to put your name on it. And this is in Lexington. It's a small dealer there in Lexington. But he took care of us. And it wasn't an Oasis that I don't think it was Oasis. It was a regular truck. And they'll still service them. They don't like them as much because they don't really.
And Oasis being in the Freightliner service system, there are service centers that are tagged as Oasis. And that just means that they
RV
are set
friendly.
Up for RVs.
Yes. For sure. But
it's
this
one of their
was not.
This was not. And it was a small, crowded parking lot. But they got us in there, put the sensor that we had was good, but the tank was no good because it had stripped out. Put that back in, got us back on the road, even replaced the coolant. Because I always carry, those of you that have RVs, you need to carry extra fluids.
Yeah.
I carry 2 extra gallons of coolant. I carry extra belts. I carry extra filters, all of the filters underneath the back, except the dryer for the air brakes. That's something that you typically don't have trouble with. But you never know if you get bad gas somewhere.
Right.
Or I say gas. Diesel. You're most of the time, we have the open roads as well as the, I can't remember, Compass Point or something that National Indoor is working with.
Yeah, the new
RecTech also does the same thing. They're connected. But the discount cards to get you into the truck stops, that's where we found the fuel to be the best for us. Because it's easy in and out with a big rig and a towed. Because the tow is the vehicle we pull behind us. You can't back up. So if you pull into a gas station, you may fit in some of the smaller gas stations, but good luck if somebody cuts you off or you can't make the turn. You've got to go out and disconnect everything and start over.
Right. Been there, done that, bought the T-shirt. Right.
Yeah.
But and we carry all the same stuff you just talked about. Yeah. Serpentine belts. You know, these things that can go wrong. You hope they never do. It's an insurance policy to have them. But
you know, one of the things we learned when we took the Freightliner class a few years ago, which if you have a Freightliner chassis, highly recommend taking the class because it was just so much good information on just being prepared, if nothing else. But we carry all these items so that if something ever happens, we might be able to find a technician who can, or a mechanic who can, get us back up and running, but he is probably not going to have the part that we need, so then you're going to be stuck waiting for a part to arrive. So if we already have that part, it just makes it so much easier, quicker.
Well, and on some of them, I can't replace it.
Right.
I mean, it may not be the easiest thing I've ever done, but to get off the road, I can do it, like a fuel filter and stuff like that.
Right.
And like people don't realize, obviously, we do have a toad. We can disconnect it. We can go, like in that case, we are supposed to, and I don't know if y'all do, but you're supposed to technically carry some diesel fuel with you, because if you change out this fuel filter, you have to put a new fuel filter on that's got diesel fuel in it. Good diesel fuel.
I've got a sneaky way around that.
Okay.
You unscrew the filter on your AquaHot, or yours is an Oasis, ours is an AquaHot. It's a diesel boiler that heats your water. It actually runs fuel out. So you can, and I carry a cup with me, a measuring cup. It's slow, but you can fill up a measuring cup and pour that into the
Of course, that's good, unless that fuel's bad.
Well, yeah, but if you're changing the filter back there, it's you're going to suck right bad into fuel it, in there anyway.
Right,
so.
Right. So that's a good tip.
Dave, the tool man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to have to show me where that is.
Yeah.
Because I don't carry the fuel, but I always thought we could go to a service station, get diesel enough, just enough to fill up that fuel filter if we
yeah.
had to.
Yeah, you could. And pay them. They usually overcharge you $30 for a little
one-gallon can.
But yeah, you can. You, in a pinch, you do what yeah, you have to.
That's right.
You at least have the escape pod, as you said. Having a towed vehicle behind you gives you an escape route.
Exactly.
To get out,
yeah. So. But luckily, that hasn't happened. But it's interesting, though, is both issues that David brought up, we've had too with the tire monitoring system. They got it fixed, but for us, it was an update they put on it, and it didn't quite go well. But they got it fixed. We had the exterior monitor in the meantime.
Yeah.
So it didn't cause a problem. It was just the next time we got to the service center, they got it all fixed.
Right.
But, and then we also had the coolant
sensor
mm-hmm. go out on our way to Austin one time. And
telling you low coolant. Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exact yep. same thing. And we got it fit. We got lucky to get into a shop when her nephew was getting married, and right after he got married, that next day we got to a shop at 8 o'clock in the morning, and they fixed it within what, a couple hours?
Yeah, it was great. Yeah. I mean, if you're ever lucky. You know, need work anywhere around the Austin area, Freightliner of Buda is awesome.
Yeah, they were great. It was a
they
brand new facility too. Yeah. They had just built it, so.
Okay, so. We're getting a little long here.
Yep.
But before, I never want to go without saying, asking this question. If you meet somebody, when you meet somebody, because it happens all the time, who's just getting into RVing or maybe they're thinking about getting into RVing, do you have a piece of advice that you like to share with them?
We tell people that have never RVed before or very limited, before they go out and buy something, go rent something first. And, you know, and then do lots of looking around, but rent something for a weekend or for a week or whatever.
Yeah.
Just right. to get the feel. Is it something for you? Are you going to be able to live in the space with that person you're with? Because you have to really like the person you're RVing with.
Especially if you're going
full-time or long-time extended
travel. If it's a week or, you know, a couple weeks, I think anybody can probably get by. But, yeah, if you're going for a month, 3 months, 6 months, a year or longer, yes, you better like the person that you're traveling with.
Yeah.
That's a very good point.
Well, and people do ask us this, you know, how can you live in such a small space? My answer is we don't live in this space. We live outside of here. We live outside. Mm-hmm. We're RVing not to live in this small space. This is where we sleep and watch some TV and blah, blah, blah. But for the most part, we're living outside.
Yeah. Exactly.
And so it's a lot bigger than you think. And I think it's good on a marriage, to be honest with you. I mean, everybody could have their difference of opinion, but I think it's good to have this kind of connection, because probably most couples out there, you and David, I know, are two of them that Stacy and I work together all the time, so it was no different for us. But for y'all had two different careers and going in different directions, and now you retire and you go off and do this, but it brings y'all back together like you were when you first started dating, probably.
Yeah.
So it's worked out good, I guess.
It has.
Good. I mean, y'all look happy.
You know, you trade yard work for cleaning a coach.
Yeah,
right.
That's
there
true.
You go.
And that's kind of what you have to look at it. There's trade-offs that have to be done. You are driving a moving earthquake down the road.
Yep.
There's a lot of bumps and potholes and dips and everything that can cause things to shake loose, things to vibrate, move, shift. You've got to be prepared for that. There's going to be some, as we both had said, there's things that pop up.
Yep.
But having a good service group and also having the ability to fix those things, as we've both been through the National RV Training Academy.
Right.
And done that, just the basic course. They have it online. You can do that from home at your own convenience for a fraction of the cost. But being there in person is the way I wanted to do it. I have both the home course as well as the Elias.
They gave us the home course too, but yeah. I'd already taken it. That's a refresher.
Yeah. And that the NRVTA is it's out of Athens, Texas.
Yes.
Yep.
And we'll put a link in the show notes.
Yeah, so we're not sponsored by any of these people.
No, it's no. But if you'd like to, if you'd like to take a look at it and maybe order the home course or take a look at going to Athens to take the class, they have gotten a lot bigger classes since we took it back
a
in 2019.
Bigger.
I tell you,
they had just opened the Big Red Schoolhouse when we took it.
Yeah,
just opened it. So
yeah, there were 70 people in our class.
Wow, that's crazy. It's great to see them having such great success. And I will tell you, if nothing else, no matter what type of RV you have, that basic week-long class is such. It gives you such comfort because it kind of takes a lot of the mystery out of it. It gives you some confidence that you kind of at least know what to look for. You at least know a little bit more than a lot more than you probably did before you took the class. It is like drinking from a fire hose.
For sure.
But you can get a lot of information that will make you a lot more proficient in just a week.
I have a quick one more question.
Okay.
Because it's one that I always like to know. And both of you can answer separately. What is your favorite thing about your full-time RV lifestyle journey?
We stumped him.
We stumped
no,
him.
No, no. I was waiting for her.
Go ahead.
Freedom from a schedule.
Yeah.
In the corporate world I was in, everything was driven by meetings, push, 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 more product, more profit. Everything had to be done. And there was such a huge demand for stuff. We couldn't meet those demands. We were working 7 days a week, not having that. You know, waking up in the middle of the night when I was in that daily grind, waking up in the middle of the night thinking, what do I have to do the next day?
Right.
You know, what did I forget to do today? And catch, you know, it just brings you out of a deep sleep and then you can't go back to sleep.
Right.
It's took me about 6 months to stop dreaming about work.
Okay.
Wow.
Finally get to where I could sleep in because I could never sleep in. I was always up. When we first started, I was always up at 4:30 in the morning.
Wow.
Internal clock.
Right.
Now I can hit maybe 6:30 on most days, but some days it's 7 or 8, you know.
That's, we want to sleep in. Do you ever wake up and have that, wait, where am I? Feeling?
Not really.
Oh, just wait. It'll come.
Yeah. That's going to come. And you get 6 years in like us, you go, well, what state are we in?
Oh, happens now so often where I wake up in the morning and I just have to really stop for a minute and think, okay, am I in Montana? Am I in Arizona? Am I in Michigan?
Let me look
Tennessee?
At my schedule. Where are we?
So, Karen?
I would say for me, our country is so beautiful.
Yes.
And we both are native Texans and Houston area kids.
Woo!
Our travel was not too far either, you know, into, you know, out of state very far. And with work, you sure didn't get to go very far for very long.
Right. Yep.
So just seeing our country and how beautiful it is and taking our time with it. You know, like I said, it's not vacation.
Right.
It's our lifestyle. If we don't get something done when we're there, we're like, you know, we'll do it on another loop when we're here.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Not a big deal.
What
the pace is so relaxing.
I agree. You know, what we have learned is that every place, there have been so many great surprises, places that were not on our radar to go, but maybe we stopped because they were 120 miles from our previous destination. And so we stopped to kind of break up the trip. And then it's like, oh my gosh, this place is amazing. How have I never heard about this place?
Yeah.
Every place has its own story, its own unique, something special. And, you know, when I first started out, when we first started out 6 years ago, I started keeping a Google map, and people would tell us, oh, you have to go to here and you have to go to there, and I would pin it on my Google map. And I thought, in 5 years, we'll be able to have gone to all the states and the national parks and hit all our bucket list. We're not even close.
Nope.
Because the list just keeps getting longer of all these places to see. And you're right, being from Texas, for those of you not from Texas, y'all got to understand, it's 4 to 5 hours just to maybe get out of the state. Just from Houston to Dallas is 4 hours. Houston to San Antonio is 2.5. To El Paso, forget it. That's an all-day drive from Houston. So you want to go to Louisiana, that's 3-4 hours. So to be able to travel extensively and see these places, I had no idea about Michigan when we started out. It's amazing. Tennessee, absolutely beautiful.
Yep.
Had no idea. So I totally agree. Taking your time, and even if you're not full-time, being able to kind of stretch those trips every so often to do a little bit of a bigger loop so that you can get a little further away from home and find these places that you never knew that you would appreciate so much, to me, makes such a difference.
Yeah. So I think that about wraps it up. Wow. I'm sorry for the long podcast, but this thing really, it was a great interview.
Well, we always have great conversations with David and Karen. If people want to connect with y'all, is there a place where you're chronicling your personal travels?
Road Trip RV. That's one word.
Okay. And what platforms are y'all on?
We have Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook
primarily for me.
Facebook is primarily where she tags a lot of our stuff. We have countless hours of video that I have not gone through post-editing to put up on our YouTube. So I try to put some shorts up there and keep things going. But we're going to find the time when she's having her knee surgery Christmas Eve.
Oh, yeah.
I'll have more time to sit in the hospital room and do some post-editing. So look for some by the end of the year.
Yeah,
so,
and that is.
I see more hiking in your future.
Yes. Hopefully.
Amen. Amen. Get back to it. So Road Trip RV.
And I will put links to all of that also in the show notes. So when you're done listening to this, if you're not listening to us from our website, RVAmericaYall.com, wherever you're listening, whether it's Google or Apple or Spotify or iHeartRadio or any of the myriad of podcast platforms, check the show notes, and I'll have a link to the page specifically about this podcast episode, and we'll have links to everything we talked about, so hopefully it'll make it easy for you to connect with David and Karen. And thanks so much, y'all, for taking the time to sit down. And the sun is now coming out. It's been a bit of a rainy couple days, but I think it's time to get outside and have some fun.
For sure.
So on that note, thanks so much for joining us, y'all. And we always look forward to speaking to you again. I know it's been a minute since our last episode, but we are back on the horse and ready to bring you a lot more great conversations just like this. So until next time, thanks so much for joining us. Safe travels
and happy camping.
Bye.